What's up, internet? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 podcast. As always, I am your host, Zach.
Also, Zach.
And today we are bringing you a podcast full of a lot of random stuff coming out.
We got some comics, we got some shows, we got some games. Loads of different stuff today.
Oh, yeah. And this is the day after we walked around 16th Street Mall for 4 hours catching Pokemon.
It was about three once we actually started walking around.
Yeah, dude, that Machop attacked your car.
Yeah, freaking Machop came back. We're just waiting for it to happen again. Still don't know how. That car is very resilient. It survived a hailstorm. It survived getting crushed by a freaking swingy arm. I don't even know what you call those things.
You know, at the parking garages, there's like a swingy arm. Well, one of them fell on Zach's car yesterday
as a Machop
appeared on our map.
I freaking pulled a ticket out of the thing to go into the garage like you do. It was already down, and then I go through, and it just like crushes my car halfway through. No damage, though, somehow.
Not really a crush. It just like slapped your car.
It just like hit me, and it like terrified me.
So we started calling that gate guard a Machop.
Yep.
He used karate chop on his car.
Because, freaking Machop showed up like after all of that. But yeah, this is episode 18. Of the Z2 podcast.
Very exciting.
We are legal now.
Yes, 18 weeks old.
Woo!
So
it's really weird that it's been 18 weeks.
Yeah, we've been doing this.
It's been a while since your 90s song.
Are you just like buying time for you to open everything?
No, I mean, I have the first thing open already. We're just dicking around. So yeah, Marvel decided it was going to announce literally everything for Marvel Now 2.0.
Not everything.
Not everything?
There are still some titles that haven't been announced, whether they're going to be continuing or not. So Marvel announced...
So a lot of titles were announced.
30 new titles, and then 29 of the current ones are continuing.
Right. So some of the ones I'm just... We're not going to talk about all of them, just because that would literally take forever.
Oh, man. But just 1 minute lightning round for each one. 30 minutes of the podcast.
We really could if we wanted to. I was just going to point out some of the ones I was really excited about. We're getting a new Hawkeye book, and Kate is the lead. I'm really excited about that. Been waiting for that for a very long time now. It's going to be written by the current A-Force writer of Kelly Thompson, or at least one of them. So that should be pretty good. I've been enjoying that book so far ever since Jewel Wilson stepped off it.
Right.
So it's been. I'm really looking forward to that one. A new Jessica Jones series. That's going to be awesome with the original team of Bendis. And who's the artist again? Michael Gatos. Gatos? Gatos? How are you say that name? But yeah, that looks really cool.
Well, it only makes sense because Jessica Jones kind of blew up in popularity with the advent of the Netflix show.
Yep, and the fact that it's getting a season two.
I think after Defenders.
I want to say it's early next year.
Oh, really?
Because they've already teased it with a tie into the Luke Cage show. So
okay.
Like the teaser they are, it's like a voicemail. I think it was for Luke Cage, but it was also for Jessica Jones. Like it was Luke Cage calling Alias Investigations.
Yeah, it was at the WonderCon.
Yeah.
When Bendis kind of teased that book is going to happen. There was a phone number on the screen.
Yeah.
People call it into the Alias answering machine.
Yeah.
Which, very cool.
Yeah. That'll be
Bendis is going to be writing.
Yeah. I mean, it's the original team.
That's true. The original team. So.
Yeah. That's always cool to see. I forget what other titles was Bendis writing to.
He's going to be writing Jessica Jones, the Invincible Iron Man with Riri Williams,
and
the infamous Iron Man with Victor Von Doom.
Right.
So I'm really excited. They actually showcased the infamous Iron Man armor, or Alex Maleev tweeted it.
Yeah, there's a...
And it's really... It's like this nice chrome.
You got the cape, too.
Got the cape.
It's very Doctor Doom-esque. Let's see. What else was kind of stand out? Unworthy Thor. I think we talked about that last week
already. Yeah, we did.
So I'll skip over that. There's a bunch of titles that I'm just like, why are we getting a number one for this? Like, there's going to be a Kingpin book, a Bullseye book. I don't even know who Bullseye is.
He's the villain for Daredevil.
I don't read much Daredevil, and I still haven't finished the show.
Like, even the very first Daredevil movie, he was the main
villain.
I
never watched that movie,
really?
To be honest. No, I didn't.
Bullseye is kind of an interesting character. He actually was Daredevil at one point for the Dark Avengers, I want to say. Okay. When Norman Osborn was leading the team.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm excited for the Prowler book, to be completely honest.
Prowler? Who's Prowler?
He is a supporting character for Spider-Man. Okay. Occasional villain, but in Dan Slott's current run of Spider-Man, Prowler is also acting as Spider-Man when Peter needs to appear in public. Because everyone knows Spider-Man's Peter Parker's bodyguard.
Okay.
So
it's like one of those double covers.
Yeah. Kind of. And the cover is really cool because it's like a Prowler bearing another person in the Prowler costume. So some people are speculating that the current Prowler is going to be meeting Miles' uncle, who's the ultimate Prowler.
That's my uncle.
Since a lot of Miles' supporting cast got shipped over to 616.
Right. Yeah, and especially how Miles' dad is going to become an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. again. That's kind of interesting how they're tying that since, you know, he's from a completely different universe.
Yeah.
But
that Molecule Man rewriting the universe.
Yep. So, I think, yeah, I can't remember if I'm trying to scroll through it, but yeah, looks like the Guardians of the Galaxy are completely broken up now. They each have their own solo titles, except for Groot. And Drax? I didn't see a Drax book anywhere.
Drax has his book going on right now.
I don't know if it's getting renewed, though.
I don't think so. That Gamora book got announced almost like a year ago, if I remember
right. The Star-Lord book I'm actually very curious about because Chip Zdarsky and Chris Anka are on it now.
Yeah.
And that just sounds like a really fun ride. Like, I've been reading some of the interviews they've been doing, and they're just... It's Chip Zdarsky, so he's just going to troll with you, but... Chris Anka's also getting on with the trolling, so...
I feel like that's a very fun book.
Yeah, it just looks like it's going to be a really fun comedy action book.
Yeah, it's like the sci-fi version of Jughead.
Yeah.
A new Jughead.
Yeah, I think if I read the plot, it's pretty much Peter's back on Earth and stuff and shenanigans happen.
Right. I know in the continuing titles, Bendis is still going to be writing Guardians of the Galaxy, so I wonder if it's going to be like a... farewell, final arc of the story.
Finish it off. Still don't understand why we're getting a Thanos book. It's kind of weird.
Jeff Lemire, though. That'll be really interesting. So I wonder
what
if
does
it's
it mean
be,
to be a villain?
It's, I mean, Marvel is really trying to shoot up their villains, kind of like how DC did in the DCU era.
True.
So, I mean, that's kind of interesting. But
yeah, it's an interesting concept. This is like one of those things of, why do we need this? Do we need this?
Well, it's the same thing like, what was it? When Forever Evil was out, the entire month of September was like Villains Month. But a lot of those series just didn't really take off. But you have something like Poison Ivy that people just loved.
Yeah, which I always think of Poison Ivy more of an anti-hero. Okay. Maybe that kind of like sways back and forth a little bit.
I mean, you can use that argument against everyone in Gotham.
I mean, you could. But I feel like Poison Ivy is kind of more... Yeah, I guess you're right. Except maybe like Penguin,
Joker,
Scarecrow, maybe.
Yeah. One of the things that I did notice, one of the articles I saw, it was like the Newsarama version where they announced all the titles and everything. And I need to sneeze. And I think on Newsarama they said not all the titles have been revealed yet.
Okay.
So what I noticed was there's no X-Men book, not a single X-Men character.
Storm showed up in Black Panther, looks like.
But, back with the hubby.
Yeah, I think that was. I didn't see like any X-Men.
Negasonic Teenage anywhere. Warhead was in Deadpool and the Mercs.
Was she?
Yeah, actually using the movie version of her, too, rather than
that's kind of cool.
The character that got killed in her first appearance.
Hey.
And then Domino is in that book. She's another X-Men.
Oh, so that's who that's supposed to be. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
But a lot of Deadpool's side characters are also getting
books. That's the one I'm just like, why?
Slapstick,
do people actually
solo.
Care about these people?
I've never heard of them.
I've never heard of them either. But, okay, I guess we'll see how those do.
Where's my Bob, Agent of Hydra?
Yeah, like, I mean, that one actually sounds like... I mean, did it do well in Secret Wars? Like, I have no idea. I know people really were like, oh my god, there's a Bob, Agent of Hydra tie-in book?
Bob's just, like, a really fun character for Deadpool to lean on. Because he's just kind of, like, useless. And then Deadpool is just kind of messing with him the entire time.
Yeah. I know one thing that we both were kind of like... why is this happening is the whole Gwen and Miles thing that is both appeared on the Spider-Man cover and the Spider-Gwen cover. But so they're really pushing for that. But Spider-Gwen is Jason Latour.
But nothing that happens on a Bendis cover actually happens.
You say that, and then it never does. Mary Jane was in the Iron Spider suit, though.
But that wasn't in Iron Man. That was in Amazing Spider-Man. That's a totally different series.
He still teased it, though.
But that wasn't Bendis writing it. He did not write the Mary Jane Iron Spider thing.
Oh, I thought he did. I thought that was Iron Man. Oh, okay. I thought that was the Iron Man book, though. See, this is what happens when I don't read those books.
Yeah, I mean, my polls still consist of Star Wars, Spider-Man, and Iron Man. Those are the only three Marvel things, flagships I'm reading. Right. But, you know, there's some stuff on here that I'm really excited for. Like, Unworthy Thor seems really cool.
Yeah, I'm probably going to pick that up just because it seems like that's going to be an interesting side to the whole Thor, just story as a whole.
Right.
Especially since the whole Jane is being chased down and trying to be unmasked right now. So maybe Unworthy Thor comes in at some point. He finally learns that it's been Jane this whole time.
Yeah. And I mean, Mosaic, it's his own book. So that'll be interesting.
Venom's getting a new book again.
And it's not Eddie Brock. It's a brand new host.
It's a brand new Venom. So no more Flash Thompson.
Which is, I don't know. I really like Flash.
Yeah, well. That was like the Seagor Spider Island. I really liked Flash's Agent Venom. That was really cool.
But I think it seems a lot like Marvel's trying to promote their villains right now. Mm-hmm. So it only makes sense for them to have a new Venom come back and it be like just a brand new host.
Yeah.
What else is going on?
Silver Surfer, well, that's been going on, so that's not new. Captain Marvel's getting renumbered back to number one again. Kind of annoying, but okay. Even though it's literally just taking place after the whole event.
You and I were talking about this, but it seems like Marvel doesn't write any ongoing titles anymore.
Yeah, everything's a limited series until it does well enough to warrant an ongoing.
Yeah. Also, part of that argument where I said not everything's been announced, I was tweeting Dan Slott. Asking him, I'm like, hey, I noticed that Clone Conspiracy is going to be a separate thing.
Yeah, that was another
interesting
thing.
It's an issue one. So is Amazing Spider-Man going to be happening concurrently with that? Is it still going to be released? And he just gave me a yes. So that was the only response I got.
Solid.
I'm like, thanks. I can't wait. Go Spider-Man.
Woo! Another interesting one I saw was the Occupy Avengers with Hawkeye on the cover. Clint Barton, Hawkeye. Right. So looks like everything will be okay after the whole trial in Civil War.
Yeah. Maybe that's why he's occupying the Avengers.
Maybe. I mean, it's an interesting concept because that's kind of how Hawkeye's been leading towards, especially like since the Fraction run of how he was focused on very, very smaller, like
street level.
Local things. Like there's the Russian mob that's trying to take this building and I live in this building and I care about these people. So screw you guys.
Avengers won't help me. Hawkeye to the rescue.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the whole, another one of those Fallout things from Civil War is just like, so the Avengers don't trust me anymore, so I'm going to go empower people to stand up for themselves.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like an interesting concept, so maybe I'll give the first issue a read, but yeah, I like me some Hawkeye.
I don't know, there's a lot of stuff that just like,
it's just like, I don't know how I feel about it. It's like, it looks like, it's different and new.
All new and all different?
Yeah, except now. It's in the now.
Yeah, I was actually talking to someone else about a lot of this stuff. And we were talking about, it's like, it's weird how all DC did was like, here's all these old things people loved, and it's back. And everyone cheers.
With a new twist.
And then Marvel's like, look, we can try that too. Here's all these old things that are new. And everyone's like, side-eyeing Marvel. It's like, what are you doing? Like, granted,
that's right.
I mean, you have Bendis kind of leading this whole new charge with Civil War II, but only four issues in, a lot of people are still kind of uneasy where everything lies. Like, I like the series. A part of me thinks...
I did really like issue three.
Yeah.
Like, the whole courtroom scene was very... The courtroom was very well written. That was well written.
There's a comment I put in the notes where it's like, a lot of people, and it seems like a lot of the heroes have a fundamental misunderstanding of what Civil War II is.
I agree. Like, I was talking to this about Yeah, I was talking to you and just everybody in the car as we were driving downtown yesterday. And I was like, my biggest issue with Civil War is literally everybody. It's like, all right, we can think rationally about this. Wait, what's Banner about to do? Okay, we got to go stop that real quick. And then they proceed to fuck things up even more. It's just like, guys, you're so close to just not ruining anything, and yet you're making the wrong moves.
I want
to
talk more about Ulysses today, by the way.
Okay, we can talk about Ulysses.
Yeah, it's in the notes. So
he's also getting a. I saw in the.
He's having a Civil War tie-in.
He's getting his own book or tie-in. Yeah, so that could be interesting.
Man, it's as if Marvel kind of shuts down all production on storylines. Just so they can do Civil War tie-ins for 3 months.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Until, you know, their next event.
Solicits come out on Monday, I think, for October. But,
that's the fine. Civil War ends in September, right?
I think so. Maybe.
Let's see.
But, so while you do that.
So September, because Marvel Now begins in October.
Okay. So while you're doing that, again, Ulysses, his powers. It seems like everyone's still trying to understand what his powers
and
do.
And, well, we might finally get a reveal in the next issue because it ends with... We Friday. Kind of understand... Friday's like, I've analyzed enough of his data to understand what his powers do.
So, another part of me is sitting there. So, at the end of issue 2, Ulysses has a vision of the Hulk ripping Iron Man apart and holding Captain Marvel. So, why does everyone think it's Banner?
There's already a Hulk running around.
Exactly. Why does no one think it's Amadeus Cho?
Who I think it's because
is that current Hulk.
They're so convinced that he has control of it, and he's proven that he does have control of it.
Sometimes.
And Banner's been so like on the fence because it's like he hasn't Hulked out in a year. Like, is he finally? Like, does it mean he has control of it, or is he just so suppressed and so worried
and
that he's
everyone
gonna go
rage? Is so freaking dumb? It's just like that emotional charge. Banner in the middle of a farm lab. He's peaceful. He hasn't Hulked out in a year. And then Captain Marvel's like, you should come outside real quick where we have an army waiting for you. What?
What? Yeah, I mean, even Tony is just like, he wasn't angry. He was baffled.
Yeah. And Tony's like, he was my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Why did this need to happen? And a part of me.
And the problem was, it was Clint that just made the call. He's like, I saw his eyes. He's about to do it.
And isn't Clint... Yeah, Clint has like an unhuman amount of like cones and whatever in his eyes that actually makes him see so
right.
Well.
Well, I mean, that's part... He has low hearing, so obviously his eyes are going to take up for that or something.
Yeah, but with Ulysses, it's... I want to say that his powers have like some sort of bias to them. Like when he is feeling stressed out... He has these triggered memories, and like
it,
I said,
it kind of makes sense. Like he is a college
world lines
student,
or anything,
like...
and he has not predicted anything that hasn't gone drastic over the top yet in the main series. I know in the side series, you know, Sam Wilson's like, yeah, no, we shouldn't trust his powers. It's like racial profiling, and in Spider-Man's tie-in, it's like, no, it's thought crime. And then in Ms. Marvel's tie-in,
it's
like
also,
preemptive.
It's also profiling.
Yeah, and it's... I just want to understand, you know, what is it about his powers that work? Is it going to be very much like that world line thing that I think, where he sees possible
dimension.
Futures?
I mean, in the Choosing... I don't know, did you read the Choosing Sides issue?
With... America?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did read that
I'm
one.
Wondering if that had... That's going to have something to do with it. Like you said, like alternate dimensions. Because they made a very key point. It's like, this event happened here. This event happened in this universe. This happened. Oh, man. That was a heartbreaking scene, Carol and Rhodey together, though.
Yeah,
even
they're getting
Kate,
married.
Yeah,
and
even
Kate's
just like, oh, God, no, please, no.
And I can't imagine the series ending on like a... Anything other than like a somber note, like the only way I can see the series ending is Ulysses killing himself
or Iron Man and him going down together.
Yeah. And, you know, God.
Or Tony. Ulysses he ends himself and Tony's just like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
He walks away.
Yeah.
But there's still so many lingering questions. And I feel like we're going to get more answers this next issue with Tony possibly revealing how the powers work or Friday breaking it all down to him. Because I mean, again, at this point in Tony's life, I would walk away from being a superhero Mm-hmm. Hulk died. Rhodey died. His parents. Everything that just happened in the current Iron Man book. And it's like, dude, I would, man.
Just
I'm out.
Just peace out, man. Just disappear.
Yeah.
Just go somewhere.
And I wonder, because too, in those new solicits, Dr. Doom's on the Avengers. So I wonder if, yeah, he's on the Avengers cover.
Which Avengers? So just event.
Just Avengers. And,
oh, so that's who that is.
Yeah. And so I wonder if Tony gives Doom his blessings about it, and that's why he got accepted into the Avengers, or he kind of like pulled a Lex Luthor and just kind of shoehorned himself in.
I saved the day, so I'm now.
Does it make you laugh that the Dr. Doom Iron Man has like angry eyes?
Yeah. I was like, he looks so menacing. He's like, I'm scary. I am.
Look
Iron
at
Man.
My cloak. It's flapping.
He doesn't have
the
cloak in the Avengers color.
Yeah. He doesn't have the Iron Man colors either.
Nope.
So
it's like green and stuff.
God, Civil War.
It's like a Vision.
What else did I write in the notes for Civil War? I think I only wrote like two things.
Yeah, that was really it. What are his motives? Is he reliable? How do his powers work?
Yeah. Is he unreal? Is he truly a reliable source? Because. Right. Sure, this event and this event, proved it, but...
Yeah, I mean, Carol definitely tried to prove that in the whole courtroom scene. It's like, well, all these events that happened, we've prevented them, and it's like...
Has all these events come true? Yeah. Almost.
Well, kind of.
Yeah, and it's... Again, we've only seen Ulysses get triggered in, like, really stressful situations. He doesn't have full control over
At the
his
same
powers.
Time, this is, like, the first... I guess technically second catastrophic event that's happened, though.
Yeah. And, I mean, people on Reddit are like, have Tony and Carol fought each other yet? I'm like, you know, this is
really, really
more of a
they're
war
really trying
of the
to work
words.
It out, yeah. They keep trying to work it out, but it's not working.
Yeah. So, it's going to be really interesting. A lot of people are kind of upset with the issue just because it's like, wow, Banner died just like that. Or, like, Clint never kills. It's against his character. Fraction proved that.
Well, he kills when necessary.
Exactly. And it's kind
of
like
one of those moments.
Well, you got to realize, guys, this is a crossover event.
It's not also a very stressful moment where Banner's literally like, kill me if you know I'm about to Hulk out.
Yeah. I mean, two of the founding members of the Avengers in that situation is just like really rough. And it just drives along the fact that Marvel is really trying to move forward with other characters. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite theories that I saw with the fallout of all of this is that Unworthy Thor goes to hell to bring Banner back. Because Mephisto's version of hell and the Asgardian version of hell share the same dimension. So
that'd
I'm like, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be kind of interesting.
And then,
like, maybe that's like the transition to back to him being worthy and holding the hammer again, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I save Banner, I've saved this soul, or if I have to sacrifice myself to know I'm worthy.
It just shows the fact that no one really knows what to do with the Hulk. I mean, in the last Civil War events, they put him on a spaceship and shot him into space.
Was it Ultimate Hulk that Banner was, like, he could talk and he was, like, just in full control the whole time?
No, that was Maestro Hulk. That was 616. Oh, okay. But, like, the Ultimate Thor was, like, pure rage.
I feel like in Hickman's run, Banner was fine. Like, I think he could control Hulk.
Only in parts, but, even in Ultimate, no one trusted that version of the Hulk.
Right.
Where it's kinda weird, was more of an MPD versus, you know, Banner and Hulk being one symbiotic relationship, like, around 616. But... you know, no one really knows what to do with the Hulk. He's just like a game breaker character.
It's like, oh God, don't let him Hulk out. He's gonna smash everything again.
Let's send him to space. It's the only logical thing to do. And then we have Planet of the Hulks, which is actually a fantastic series.
World War Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be cool to see that as a movie or something.
There's an animated movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But yeah. So let's not talk about Marvel for once. I just wish Marvel Marvel, please stop announcing stuff for a week just so we don't have to talk about you. I mean, technically we don't have to talk about you, but it's so relevant.
Yeah.
And we kind of need to. So in another announcement, JLA is uncanceled now, which is weird.
I don't think it was ever canceled in the first place.
No, there's actually a Twitter log from Brian Hitch from earlier last month where it says JLA isn't canceled, it's just being moved. Issues 9, 11, and 12 are being penciled, but had to do Rebirth before finishing 10. We'll do 10 in June. So it's all coming. It's as the annual Neil's drawing is the wrap up to the story in 11 and 12. We just need to lick the dates and resolicit.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time, if something gets delayed, people consider it canceled, and then when it needs to be resolicited, it's still under that canceled banner.
Right.
I think that's why websites like Newsarama and Comic Book Resources no longer use like final issue in bold to talk about the solicits.
They use like finale or like story finale.
Yeah. And I remember Hitch saying he wasn't even supposed to be drawing the Justice League Rebirth issue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it just like something happened and he had to do it. So,
I mean, this could be weird. He's writing two separate Justice League books with almost identical teams. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, at least it's done for the most part. Like, just one issue needs to be penciled, colored, and inked, and whatever.
I mean, that could just mean they're done at issue 12, too. Just finish off that series.
I'm pretty happy that the Rao thing is going to... We finally get closure to Rao.
Yeah.
But, man, one of those covers has, like, Wonder Woman holding, like, two 90s style guns just firing, and I'm like,
what?
Why?
It's like Red Hulk with two guns. Man, this is like awesome doesn't need to happen.
Yeah.
It's just kind of
So I just want some closure to that arc.
Yeah, and just finish it off and call it good.
Yeah, and then there's still no announcements of what JLA Rebirth is. And
see that one could be canceled.
Yeah,
the current. Like the pre-rebirth one though, that might be the one that they're referring to that's uncanceled now.
Yeah, and then there's the Super Sons still hasn't shown up in solicits.
Wasn't it originally slated for like September?
Yeah, and the October solicits came out for DC. I mean, they got leaked on Diamond's website. Like someone did some mining and found them. But there's hasn't been like an official announcement for those titles yet. Because like I said, solicits don't come out till like tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, isn't Trinity still unsolicited too?
No.
No? That one's good?
Issue 1 was in September.
Oh, okay.
And then issue two, what's the
one I'm thinking of that's still unsolicited? That's like one of those bigger titles.
Super Sons and JLA are the only two that haven't been solicited yet.
Really?
Speaking of October solicits, there's going to be a new Dead Man book that's like three issues long.
That's pretty cool.
And it's like a gothic romance. Oh, so I'm really pumped for it.
Do you know who's writing it?
I don't remember. Yeah. I know there's an article on Newsarama about it.
Dead Man.
But it's a story about this lady. She's traveling with her boyfriend and her best friend who's non-binary. And then they get into
Dark like, Mansion. It's called Dark Mansions of Forbidden Love.
Yes. And starring Dead Man.
Oh, it's from this creator. Wait, okay, hang on. Yeah, no, I don't want the images. Oh, there we go. Series is from creator Sarah Vaughn and Lan Medina. Don't know who either of those are.
I can't remember what they wrote, but I'm down for a gothic romance.
Sarah Vaughn wrote Alex and Ada. What? I feel like I've heard. And Medina worked on Fables.
There you go.
Yeah. With covers by Stephanie Hahn, so that's cool.
Yep.
That's a perfect artist for those covers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she does gothic stuff really well, so that's pretty cool. I'll probably pick that up.
Yeah. It's only three issues long.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little mini-series. That sounds cool.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Just Dead Man.
Another announcement. For those who, even if you don't play video games, the Batman Telltale game is going to start in August on digital release and supposed to go to till the end of the year.
So five episodes.
Six
episodes.
Yes, I believe
the Telltale genre.
Was it five episodes? It might have been five episodes.
Every Telltale game except for Minecraft has had five episodes.
Yeah, but their plan is to get it all out by the end of the year.
So August. September, yeah. October.
So
November,
August
December.
Till then. So I guess so yeah, probably
one
five,
issue,
probably
one
will be five
episode
episodes.
A month.
Yeah, I mean the Telltale games, they're always story driven games. Very like you occasionally maybe have to like hit button. So for those who don't play video games very much but still want a story, they're perfect for you.
You can watch it on YouTube, probably.
Yeah.
There'll be a ton of people playing it.
Oh, yeah. We'll probably play it. I'm really excited for it because it's Batman. It's Telltale. I love both those things.
Yes.
And it's going to be really cool. And it looks like they finally beefed up their game engine. Thank God.
Do you think characters will actually appear?
I think characters will actually move properly and
not
freeze.
Was it you who thought you were watching like a cutscene? It was just like an empty space.
But there were
supposed to be a bunch of people in the car driving across the desert. It was possible. Tales from the Borderlands.
Oh, it might have been Steve. I think it was Steve. Because that I didn't have any issues. That was the first one I didn't have like any issues with, other than the, like, occasional buffer issues, which happens a lot. But
yeah,
I'm really excited for that. So that's starting soon. I'm probably going to wait until it's all out, just because I hate the whole episodic thing personally.
I'll play it monthly.
I'll just wait until December and just play it all at once.
Well, I mean, I have a ton of Telltale games I actually need to play.
True.
Like, the only one I'm interested in, I'm not allowed to play unless Kayla's with me. Fables, Wolf Among Us.
Like, you've already played it, though.
I played it on PC, but I want those achievements. Okay.
But yeah, in other announcements, Jeff Lemire has another new series coming that he's writing and drawing. How the fuck does this man have time for anything?
I added that to the list after you sent me the notes, and then you just typed a comment like,
How does he have time for this? Like, seriously.
So, Thanos, possibly X-Men if it's coming back, Descender.
Black Hammer. Is Essex County still going?
I don't know.
Can't remember who that is. Old Man Logan, if that's staying. Moon Knight, still going on.
Dude, Moon Knight 4 had, like, the biggest reveal. It was so cool.
But yeah. I mean, I'm still just baffled by this man's worth ethic.
Yeah.
Just, like, how the fact is he gets all this done.
Well, it's like After Death was supposed to be, like, monthly thing, but now it's just coming out in three sections.
Yeah.
As, like, three 80-page graphic novels, which is cool.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. But Royal City promises to be a sprawling, serialized graphic novel that will chart the lives, loves, and losses of a troubled family and a vanishing town across three decades.
That's my favorite part about it.
Yeah, the whole three-decade thing.
Yeah.
It's a very American Vampire kind of
story. Well, it's like a generational thing. Like, yeah. Did you ever watch Gundam Age?
I never got around to Gundam Age.
So that one hasn't ever been dubbed yet, but I watched it, and like, every season was a different decade in time.
Oh, really?
Starring the protagonist's offspring.
Oh, that's kind of
like,
cool.
It was really
cool.
Kind
of like that.
And I that's my hope for it, because it'd be really cool. It's like it was like a washed up writer moving back home. And then he's dealing with his parents, and then like the burdens of living in a small town. It feels like a nice, just like quiet book. That's away from like all the octane adventures of the big two.
Yeah. But yeah, it sounds really cool. It's coming out in March 2017. So I'll probably end up getting that, especially since it's a graphic novel, so it'll be easier to kind of digest and pick up. Won't be too bad on adding anything to my pool. But yeah, it's still, how does he get stuff done so quick? Like, you have Jim Lee, who takes like months to write, to like draw anything, and then you have Jeff Lemire, who can write and draw a whole book by himself in
a
couple months.
It's their style. Like, Lemire goes for very like simplistic, whereas Jim Lee's like, I gotta draw every single line.
I gotta get these abs perfect.
Like, do you have the Superman Unchained?
No, I don't. I've been meaning to eventually get
the
that.
Deluxe edition of it has penciled issues, and I'm just looking at them. I'm like, dude, no wonder you wanted to kill Scott Snyder. The things he asked for, like the one scene in particular where Jim Lee was joking around, I was like, yeah, I was about to fire Scott, where he wanted every single Batmobile ever created to drive and fly on top of this villain in a double page spread. And I'm like, sounds really cool though.
Yeah.
I'm like, and then I actually saw the pencils. I'm like, dear Lord, this man.
But yeah, art. It's crazy.
Have you seen Sean Gordon Murphy stuff going on right now?
Which stuff?
He's been posting on Twitter. A lot of people are speculating he's like writing a Victorian Batman.
Ooh.
And he's been
Gotham by Gaslight, maybe?
Maybe. But he has like all these reference images, and then just watching him go at it on his pencils, it's just insane.
Nice.
Because he's very much an architecture person.
Oh, I'm trying to think. Speaking of like other Batman artists, isn't Reborn coming out soon? Is that
October?
October. I'm so pumped for that. I saw an image of like the main character. And I'm so excited to see Capullo's art once again. I've missed it.
It's only been like 2 weeks.
I know, but I still miss it.
Yeah, he's a monster too. Yep. Like all of his teasing images on Twitter too.
Yeah. Speaking of other Batman things though, the Court of Owls is going to appear on Gotham.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I haven't watched Gotham since like, I never even finished season one. I couldn't get into it.
You have to remove yourself from
the whole comics. Comics universe. I think that's what bugged me. I'm just like, why is Enigma there? Why are all these characters doing these things?
It's interesting. It gets the mustache? Interesting once you remove yourself from everything, because then it turns into like this really cool police serial drama.
Okay. I've heard season two was really good.
Season two is like off the rails. Just crazy. Penguin's still awesome. Mm-hmm. And season three, having the Court of Owls will be really interesting. Yeah. Because it's especially so weird.
It's just really cool to see that one of Scott Snyder's creations, where like one of the primal forces of Gotham is finally getting
they're only like 5 years old, and they've gotten so much attention since their inception.
I just think it's kind of that whole cool little like conspiracy, like boogeyman type thing of like, oh, they always told this story of to keep your kids asleep, like the Court of Owls are watching, you better go to sleep now.
Yeah, I wonder if it's gonna be was it Snyder did this in his run, but like Bruce thinking is the Court of Owls that killed his parents. It had to be along those lines. So that'd be really cool to see. And like he's starting to mature more into an adult in the series. Mm-hmm. It's kind of taking on different things.
Right.
And then you have Cat Woman girl running around doing mobster things. Just really cool. I'm really excited. Because I might actually start watching Gotham regularly.
I might watch it just for the Court of Owls. Because I love the Court of Owls. Especially in the Nightwing issue.
Yeah. Nightwing issue is also on our list.
Is it?
Yeah, I added that. Nightwing Rebirth came out this week. It's at like the very bottom.
I don't see it. Oh, wait, there it is. Never mind. Yeah. I found it.
So, Dick Grayson, he's kind of dealing from the events from Robin War. Like,
the end of Grayson.
Yeah. But he's like still going on missions for Spiral.
Yeah.
But it's like, Dick Grayson, who are you? And it's like, well, I've been Robin, I've been Batman, I've been Nightwing, but most of all, I've been Dick Grayson. And that's who I need to be. And he's sitting in, you know, of course, Bruce is fully aware of the deal Nightwing made with the Court of Owls. How can he possibly hide that?
And the fact that Spiral, nobody knows who Dick Grayson is anymore.
Yeah, so he has
like this, even like sits down and is like, you don't have to do this. You can be Dick Grayson again.
Yeah, and it's just really cool because we get a lot of just like friendly moments. You know, it's part of it's a love letter to Grayson, where Dick is saying bye to Midnighter and Tiger, and then part of it is just him moving forward. It's a lot of setup,
and you got a cool little Damian and Dick moment in the arcade. Yes, and stuff.
It's my favorite, just Dick and like, Damian moments.
Damian's actually becoming not a punk anymore.
Still a little asshole.
Yeah, but at least he's like, video games. He's just like, no, let's go. Let's do it.
It's your favorite video game, Damian. Yeah, and I'm really excited because, you know, the end page reveal where Lincoln March is sitting there, it's like, yes, my brothers, we will
remove the white masks and become more in the shadows.
And then he dies.
He just gets popped in the face.
And I'm like, wow, Lincoln March was a really important character for Robin War. I assumed that he was actually like the leader of the Owls for that moment.
Yeah, I did too.
But now another Talon kills him, and then everyone else dons these black masks. And I know the events of Nightwing is going to be him and Raptor
going That's to another be... another Talon, isn't it?
Well, Raptor is the whole Better Than Batman arc.
Right.
So the two of them are taking down the Court of Owls, which is going to be really cool, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I hope I get to see Talon again. Mm-hmm. Tim Seeley.
You also got to see Helena in her new costume. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
I mean, it was a really cool thing just for a...
It was a very good... It was a good... Everything. Yeah. It was a good, like, just lead into everything and a good wrap-up for... Finally, wrap-up for Grayson.
Yeah.
Just, like, finally tie everything together. We're good.
I mean, I would love a Spiral side book with Tom King and Tim Seeley back on it, where they write the adventures of Tiger and the Skull Girls.
Yeah.
That would just be really fun.
It'd be a fun little thing. Even just, like, a mini-series.
I just like that Midnighter gives them, like, the little nostril thing. And then Dick's like, yep, there's a bomb in here now. Thanks, yep. Damien. It's like, what?
I mean, technically, Damien's DNA is still in this, so. Yeah. But yeah.
Oh, you know what else is coming in October since I brought it up? What? Midnighter and Apollo. Yes.
Nice.
So I'm really excited. A lot of number ones coming out. A lot of the limited series number ones. Like, I think
October is going to destroy my wallet.
Yeah.
Going to New York Comic Con in the beginning, and then all these books coming out. Rip wallet.
Have fun.
Rip wallet. So, another TV news. We got to see Wally West in his new Kid Flash costume. They're sticking with the red and yellow of the original Kid Flash. And there's also an unknown speedster villain, which a lot of people want to say it's going to be Black Racer.
Or Daniel West.
Yeah.
Who's the new 52 Reverse Flash.
Right.
Just because of the color scheme, they're black and red. And then there's also
synonymous with Black Racer, though.
Yeah, there's the discussion right now whether or not it's going to be a Flashpoint timeline, those specific scenes.
Right.
Where Barry is not the Flash and is just Wally instead, and he's dealing with his own speedster villain. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people are like, we don't want another speedster villain.
Yeah, we want something different. Like, I'm sure the season's going to be great because they've been doing so well, but let's get a little different challenge. Like,
no more run fights.
Yeah, Barry, we get it. You can run fast. You have to be faster, but yeah. Let's change it up here.
And they haven't really shown any stills of Barry in his Flash costume yet.
No, they haven't.
Or him, like, in action running or mm-hmm. anything. So a lot of people are speculating he doesn't have his powers in the
Flashpoint.
Yep. Is it fair that Wally has a better costume than Barry?
I don't know.
I like Wally's costume a lot.
Yeah, the more I start looking at him, I'm actually like, that's actually kind of cool. It's like not an armor, but it kind of is. It's like an armor style.
Yeah, it's just more reminiscent of the comics than Barry's costume ever was. I mean, give him the red spandex Speed Force costume. That'd mm-hmm. be cool. Or maybe that's the big reveal when he's fixing all the timeline again. He's running and the Speed Force creates a new costume for him.
Yeah.
Because that way it's not just sitting on a mantle all the time or a mannequin.
Maybe he gets the ring finally.
He had the ring already.
But he hasn't used it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Wanted to use it. Just jump out.
You whoop. Want the ring and I want you the, treadmill. The treadmill.
Treadmill and the ring. I want the silly things about Flash.
All I want. See, I already got my dreams come true. I saw a man in red fight a giant CGI gorilla and a giant CGI shark. That's all I ever needed.
You can rest easy now.
And then you're like, treadmill, please.
Treadmill, please. They're just those silly things from the comics. I'm just like, why did they come up with this? But I just want to see it, and they keep bringing it up.
Hashtag goatee life.
Yeah, hashtag goatee life. We could keep going from there and talk about how Geoff Johns confirmed that he co-wrote the screenplay for Wonder Woman.
You know who the other writer is, right?
Alan Heinberg. I know that name.
You should know it. He is the guy that brought back the Young Avengers.
Oh, my God. Oh, of course. Yeah. Wow, yeah.
He wrote the first arc of Young Avengers. So it's so everyone was like, well, Geoff Johns kind of disappeared. Mm-hmm. And then now we finally figured out it's like, okay, so while he was setting up Rebirth, he was also writing the screenplay for Wonder Woman. So, you know, when we were talking about it, it's like he's just slowly touching all of the DC properties. Boop. He is the Dr. Manhattan, which is cool. I mean, my favorite joke of Rebirth is that on the cover is Geoff Johns' hand.
Yeah, he is Dr. Manhattan. Like, it finally reveals that it's just Geoff Johns and his giant blue man.
He just painted his arm blue, and it's just him in his Green Lantern t-shirt that he's always wearing. And then the bomber jacket.
Yeah.
But
so
cool.
Spells really good things for the Wonder Woman story.
I know, Geoff, it's just Geoff Johns. Like, he's the ultimate fanboy. And mm-hmm. I think Heinberg was there just to, like, reel him in a little bit.
Yeah, so it's like, I see what you. I know you want to bring in Ares and everything, Geoff, but we don't have time for that right now.
Do we really need a 5-minute scene of Hippolyta sculpting Diana from clay? Mm-hmm. Yes, it's in the Wikipedia. Yeah.
I wrote it.
The Geoff Johns Wikipedia. It's so cool to see. We actually know what he's doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of people are still upset. It's like, Johns, where are you? We need you back.
We miss you.
Yeah, but we know that he and Dan Abnett are going to co-write Rise of the Seven Seas together.
Yes.
know that he's still working on Batman Earth 1 Volume 3.
Forget those still are going on.
Yeah, I mean, Teen Titans Earth 1 Volume 2 is coming out this year.
Finally.
With Jeff Lemire and the other artists. I can't remember his name.
I can't remember either.
But it's a lot of... People are starting to really want like a cohesion to the Earth One books because they're like, this doesn't make sense. All of them are just kind of one shots. Why aren't you using the original Teen Titans? It's like, well, you know, none of these heroes are established. Universe. Yeah. And
I'm starting to grow to love Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. Like, there was this gif of her like doing the classic Wonder Woman,
Belinda Carter spin.
Yeah, and she's just so happy. I'm just like, I really like you now.
Yeah,
you're great. You look great. The costume looks great.
Do you want me to blow your mind for a second?
What?
You know Nicola Scott?
Yeah.
The fantastic artist on Wonder Woman who did issue 2. She was originally an actress before she was an artist.
Really?
And when Superman, The Adventures of Lois and Clark got shut down, WB or whoever was running those shows at the time was originally creating a Wonder Woman TV show. And she was the front runner for that.
Really? Wow.
And now she's the artist drawing Wonder Woman.
I remember that because people were like, the costume looks terrible. Like, there's a porno of Wonder Woman, and the costume is way better than that. I just remember that a lot.
What,
like,
are you talking about?
Do you not remember that?
No.
It was like maybe like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago when they were starting to try and get a Wonder Woman TV series. Like, here's
no,
a promo.
No, that was like way
was
back.
Was that way back?
Way back.
Oh, okay. So they tried twice then.
Yeah.
I remember this was a thing, though.
That was after Smallville.
Okay.
I'm talking, like, way
earlier. Oh, okay. So this
is,
like,
earlier.
Back in, like, the 90s or something.
Yeah. And so Nicola Scott was, like, the front runner for that Wonder Woman TV show before it got shelved.
Right.
Speaking of other shelved things, I found out today that Justice League God of Monsters Chronicles number 2 got shelved.
Oh.
So that was.
So they were going to have a second volume of that?
We were going to have a second volume where we got the crazy new god Wonder Woman, Zod's son Superman, and then
actual vampire Batman.
Yeah, actual vampire Batman. Langstrom, that's his name. Kurt Langstrom. But that second volume would have brought in Steel, who was like in an Iron Patriot armor, Green Lantern, who was just straight up alien, and then Miss Marvel, who was a black woman with a giant afro. Huh. And I'm like, why can't we have nice things? So, yeah, the Chronicles got shelved for now. And then I think the head of the animation said he's working on something else, but he's not allowed to reveal what it is. Hmm. It's like, I didn't even know there was a Chronicles 2 in development, but now I'm sad.
Yeah. It was a really cool take on it.
Yeah.
Like, just we haven't seen the Justice League kind of... really in the gray.
Not even in the gray. They were just like the dark.
We will do what we feel is right in our own morals.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
Chronicles was great, though.
It was
Gods of Monsters.
It was a good series. So, we haven't talked about Star Wars for a while.
Star Wars. Star Wars Celebration is happening right now.
And we got a Star Wars Rebels Season 3 trailer. This pretty much is going to make me like go binge the first two seasons now, because we get one of the most awesome and menacing villains from the expanded universe, Grand Admiral Thrawn.
He is back. Timothy Zahn, man. That was my first exposure ever to the extended universe when I was like 13 or 14. Reading those books, I'm like, whoa, this guy's hardcore.
Scary.
And
he's such an interesting character because the whole point of the Empire is like, no, we don't want aliens, but he's such a powerful general that they're like, all right, we will listen to him. He will unite us.
What were those things that they brought in the books that was like these Larmy that they blocked the force and they had stormtroopers with like little bubbles on their back?
Yeah.
These Larmy.
I remember what you're talking about. I can't.
Bring them back, is Larmy 2017. But the Rebels trailer came out. And it showed so many cool setup things. Like, you see Ezra, he has more of Kanan's haircut now, just pulled back. Kanan has a beard.
You know what I thought when I saw Kanan with the mask on? I'm like, hey, Force Unleashed.
Yeah. General
I forget what Kato? His name is. Yeah, Kato.
It's like he's a same, blind dude with a lightsaber. The
same exact thing.
Yeah.
That was my first thought.
Oh, that's really cool. Other things that I noticed too, you know, Wedge Antilles.
Yeah,
he's flying a TIE fighter, and then he joins the Rebellion like seconds after. So that's really awesome that they're bringing more canon characters into the series.
Ahsoka's supposedly going to make another appearance.
She's alive. They did confirm that.
They said she'll probably make another appearance.
Well, there's that trailer, there's a scene where they're all gathered around like a little holodeck, and it has the symbol holding up, and it's like two lines. They go into a diamond and then go back to two lines and then two diamonds on the side. That's actually Ahsoka's forehead painting.
Oh.
So, or forehead tattoo, not a painting. So people are like, Ahsoka's coming back. She's alive. And then the showrunner is like, yeah, it's kind of a blink if you miss it moment, but she's going back into the cave at the end of the Sith Temple. And then Darth Maul is back.
Which is interesting because isn't the last thing we see of him in season 5? Where the Emperor, like,
he's in Rebels.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. He's in Twilight of the Apprentice in season 2, the finale.
Oh, okay. I haven't watched Rebels.
Spoilers.
At all. Okay. Well, I already knew Ahsoka fought Darth Vader, so.
And she also fought Darth Maul.
Oh.
But Darth Maul takes on Ezra as his apprentice. So at the end of Twilight of the Apprentice, Ezra finds a Sith holocron and learns how to open it. And he's like,
yeah, that's definitely what they showcased in the trailer is like, Ezra, given to your rage, it gives you power.
Yeah. And then Kanan's like, no, Ezra,
don't do it.
Yeah. So it's really cool. We get to see that.
Who's the Mandalorian rebel?
Saber.
Yeah. It seems like they're going to focus on her and Ezra.
Sabrine. One of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems to be the focal point. And what's his face? That freaking bounty hunter, not the bounty hunter, but the.
Oh, the smuggler?
Yeah, the smuggler.
I can never remember his name.
I can't either, but I'm like, he's freaking back again.
What are you doing here?
They really like using him for some reason.
He's a fun character.
He's one of those that's like, you're so slimy, but you're really entertaining.
Yeah. So we realize there's a time skip of a couple years.
Oh, wow.
The first season of Rebels was 5 years before A New Hope. So people are wondering, it's like, how close to all of our characters dying are we?
Yeah.
Because, again, that's, like, the only logical
thing. Or is this, like, straight up just, like, happening off in the disc, like, just in a completely different gap, like, side of the galaxy? Yeah.
Did you watch sorry, it's still on the topic of Star Wars, but did you watch the new Rogue One teaser?
I did not. I didn't know there was a new teaser. I saw the poster.
Yeah, so there's a new teaser for it where they're gathered around and Bail Organa is in one of the shots. Hmm. So we get to see him again before Alderaan explodes. Yeah. There's just so many cool things from Star Wars Celebration that I saw. And, like, the final Battlefront DLC will be based on Rogue One. So you get to play as, like, the menacing white general admiral dude and Jyn Erso. Mm-hmm. And then there's actually a space battle, finally. So we get that. But, dude, Star Wars, it's so fun to be a Star Wars fan again.
Yeah. I definitely, like I said, I need to go binge watch Rebels now.
I am more excited for Rebels than I am for Rogue
I'm
One.
So excited to see Thrawn. I really hope he doesn't get killed off. I hope he just kind of stays there. Like, he gets, like, I imagine he'll probably, like, lose, but I really want him to, like, just come back with a vengeance.
See, my hope is, like, we get one or two more seasons of Rebels after this, and then we jump forward into the
Force Awakens.
Like, post Endor.
Yeah.
In between that.
Like, have that and, you know, do a series before all that. That'd be really.
Because, I mean, right now.
Like, show the Knights of Ren.
We only have novels right now. So it'll be interesting.
Like, build up the expanded universe for post Jedi. Because it seems like that's what they're trying to do now.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, what happened, like, during all of this other stuff during the movies?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there had to be other things going on.
Well, did you read Bloodlines?
I did not.
That book is based all around Princess Leia, like, 5 months before Force Awakens happens.
Really?
And her life just spirals down. And it shows, like, the formation of the First Order and everything. So it's a really cool novel if you ever want to read it or listen to it.
Nice.
Anything else on Star Wars?
Aside from Timothy Zahn getting to write a new Thrawn book.
Yes.
Is that confirmed? Like, he gets to write...
That was at Celebration. That's awesome. And it's just called Thrawn.
That's awesome that they're... He, even after, like, it's like, oh, sorry, all your books aren't canon anymore. It's like, hey, come write a book for canon for
Bring
us.
Bring it back.
Yeah. It's cool that they're working with him, though.
Yeah.
It's starting to show, like, okay, we really want to use this. There is some cool stuff out there in the expanding universe. Let's use it.
Mm-hmm. And then... Yeah, that happened. Wedge. I'm trying to think of everything. I think we get to see Bail in Rebels again, too. I'm trying to think what else. But it seems like the Rebels characters aren't so much focused on helping the Rebellion. Like, they're mm-hmm. still rebelling and everything else.
Yeah.
But they're, like, detached from everything else that's happening.
Right. That's why I'm saying that they're kind of just off doing their own thing while Empire Strikes Back is happening.
Empire Strikes Back. No.
Is it still before that?
It's before A New Hope.
Oh, I thought...
We're still before A New Hope.
I think I misheard something you said.
Like, yeah, I said a second ago that like the first season of Rebels is 5 years prior to A New Hope.
Oh, 5 years prior. Okay.
And then we're still in that timeline, but that A New Hope hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
So.
I thought you... I thought season three was supposed to like take after New Hope. Okay.
Man...
That's cool.
Why is Darth Maul still alive and Mace Windu's dead?
I don't know. How the fuck is he still alive?
He got bisected. He got robot legs. He got bisected again. He got another robot legs. He fought Darth Vader at the end of Twilight of the Apprentice.
He just won't go down.
And Mace Windu gets his hand chopped
off.
He's
the true Sith Lord.
He's intense, man.
He will not die.
Yeah. Okay. Moving forward?
Yeah. So, new Superman came out this week, and I kind of just want to see what your thoughts on it were, as well as mine.
Okay, you can go first.
I thought the main character was a dick.
Yeah.
Good God.
It's awesome.
It's definitely going to be one of those stories of, oh, this is what it means to be a hero. Like, yeah, it's cool to have powers and everything, but actually helping people is what matters.
It is very much in the style and vein that every Gene Luen Yang book is. Like, if you read American Born Chinese, one of the characters is very much like that. Mm-hmm. Same with the Saints and Boxers. Like, he's literally writing what he writes best right now.
Okay.
Which gets me excited.
Yeah, I mean, the first issue, like, the main character bothered me so much. But knowing that, it's like, all right, I can see what they're going to do with him already. Like,
he has the heart of Superman.
Yeah, you can already tell that he has issues with his father that he wants to work out. And it's kind of fun. It's that classic, like, hey, this group contacted me, and now my dad thinks they're evil, and, oh, look, they actually exist.
Yeah, and it's a really cool like tie-in Illuminati. Back to Tomasi's final days of Superman, because the fiery, sunny, Danny Superman, I don't know what else to call him, glowed the same way that Kenan did. So it's like, oh, is it this the same organization that created the fiery Superman and mm-hmm. him? Because could they be. Said it's like, well, in our first trial, it was only a 17.5% chance that you would die.
Yeah.
So it seems like they... And then there's another Superman that appeared in Final Days of Superman where they go to a laboratory and they break one free.
Hmm.
So I wonder if it's the same process, because Danny believed he was Clark Kent for all intents and purposes. Mm-hmm. Because... And then... Kenan went through that same thing where he appears in Superman's body, reliving right. Superman's memories. So maybe that's why he only has the heart of Superman and not that full DNA imprints.
Yeah.
That Danny had.
Yeah, it's also kind of interesting that they already established the Batman and Wonder Woman, the Chinese versions, are working for this group.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder if they're eventually going to like realize how evil the group is and they split off or something.
Yeah, and it's cool... Because I wonder, just the whole experimentation process, it reminds me a lot of Justice League 3000, where they got these characters, the recreated damaged DNA versions of these characters who literally overwrote the DNA of their previous hosts, where mm-hmm. their body, their consciousness was essentially a parasite.
Right.
So I wonder if the Batman and Wonder Woman of China also have that same thing, where they have the memories of that previous incarnation of them.
Right. Yeah, that's very possible.
They're going to go up against the Seven Soldiers of... Not the Seven Soldiers of Victory. Crap. I forgot the Chinese, like, fighters. But, like...
Like, from the Seven Kingdoms?
not the Seven Kingdoms, but it's like General Iron something, blah, blah, blah. But they're like the Chinese. They're essentially like the Chinese Justice League already.
Okay.
But they don't want anyone invading their land.
Okay.
Two of their members were on Justice League International.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So having those characters all come together and fight will be really interesting. I'm probably going to pick it up now after reading the first issue.
I'm going to give it an arc again. Mm-hmm. Just because that's kind of what I'm doing with a bunch of books. But provided that the main character, I forget how to say his name.
Keenan.
Becomes less of a dick, I'll probably actually grow to like him.
That's probably my favorite part, actually, is that really? He's just such an asshole.
Just like, God, you're such a prick, man. You're like that stereotypical, like,
well, oh, fat I'm so boy, full. I mean, Lee Sin.
I'm so full of myself. Also, shout out to Lonnie Lane.
Yeah. It's very much like, this is...
This is Superman in China.
Yeah. Like I said, I like it because I do want to see what you said, like that redemptive arc, yeah. Because he has the powers of Superman, he has the heart of Superman, but he doesn't know how to be Superman,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool. And yeah. I think this is like right up Yong's alley with everything else right, that he's ever written.
I kind of think we guessed it would probably be a little more up his alley than regular Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, this is his story. He's creating everything from scratch.
Dude, regular Clark Kent is appearing in Action Comics right now, too. And his arm straight up gets broken.
Ooh.
In a fight with Doomsday. Like, not even the fight with Doomsday. Like, collateral damage. And he's just like, Jimmy's sitting there. It's like, Clark, do it. Do it. Become Superman. Fly away. Help these people. And Clark's like, I don't know what you're talking about, Jimmy. I'm just regular old Clark Kent. I'm not Superman. What are you talking about? I went into hiding after the whole Superman thing happened. It's like... Huh.
Hmm.
So, like, this first arc is going to be all about Doomsday.
And this isn't the...
Action Comics.
This isn't pre-52 Clark, though, is it?
No. It's okay. Like...
This is the one that just, like, appeared.
That just appeared. That okay. No one knows. That and even kinda, Lex is like...
Then I'm kind of speculating. Kent,
what are you doing? It's another clone.
Yeah, another Manhattan creation or something.
Yeah, and throughout the fight with Doomsday... Mr. Oz is, it cuts to Mr. Oz just watching everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really exciting because again, there's just so many questions and I just want to keep Dan Jurgens is just going to keep rallying.
Right.
It's insane. Absolutely insane that every week we get a book with Batman. We get it bounces from Batman to detective. Batman's the detective. We get,
yeah.
A Superman book every single week.
We get a Wonder Woman book every other week.
Four Flashes that are going to be represented every week.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Because we're going to have Flash, Wally West Flash, Teen Titans Kid Flash, and then back to another Flash book. And it's like, because that's bi-weekly. And it's like, mm-hmm. for the entire month of every DC title, your favorite character is going to appear at least once a week.
Yeah. That's actually really cool.
It's insane. And I love it so much because just all that content. I don't mm-hmm. care. I'm technically paying like $6 a month for
something. Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, it's like there's less overall books.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like even though they're bi-weekly, it feels about the same. Yeah, it feels about the same, if not a little less.
Yeah.
Like I definitely noticed that like in my average pull, it's like it used to be like 10 to 12 month, like every week. Now it's about like 8 to 10.
Yeah.
So... But yeah,
it's exciting. I just love the fact that I get to see my favorite characters every single week
mm-hmm. in some variation. I keep ever since this last issue of Detective, I want that every week. I want it. I want this whole story arc. This is awesome. I love it. I love these characters.
Love the way they interact with each other.
This is such a great book.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's we're going to change it up a little bit since we have Comic Book Club.
Yeah.
Let's do our picks now.
Comic book.
We'll take
club.
A small break because you've been wanting to do ad read voice.
Do my ad read voice,
and then we'll jump into our discussion about Dark Knight, a true Batman story. So,
yes.
I think I started last week with picks.
Okay, so it's my turn.
I think so.
What came out this week?
It always happens.
Did Flash come out this week?
Yes, it did.
Okay. What else came out this
Flash,
week?
Flash, Wonder Woman,
Detective. Wictive.
Descender. Civil War. I don't know what else you read.
Yeah, I don't even... You're so much better at taking a picture of your entire pool than I am. I just forget.
It's habit. I always try to remind myself.
Yeah.
I guess I can go first. If you
I really loved Wonder Woman this week with Greg Rucka and Nicola Scott.
I would agree. It was a very good book.
The really cool thing that they're doing with that is that it's going to be... It's a bi-weekly book, and it's two different storylines. So one week you get the Lies story arc, and then the next week you get the... Not the truth, but Wonder Woman Earth, or Year One, essentially, mm-hmm. with Nicola Scott and Greg Rucka. And what I really loved about this issue, other than Nicola Scott's art, is just beautiful.
So amazing.
And my favorite thing, though, with them is that they're telling this story with a kind, literally, you know, Diana's like, I stare with wonder at the whole world. Mm-hmm. That's why I look at the horizon. I want to know what else is there. And it's this co-current story where Diana's growing up and Steve Trevor is going through the motions of him being in the army. Mm-hmm. And it ends with his plane, his crew crash landing on Themyscira.
And it looks like he's the only survivor.
He's the only survivor, which is, I'm so sad because his best friend was his best friend. He's like pierced through the chest. And I'm like, oh, he's dead.
He's gone.
But it's just so cool to see them meeting for the first time in this new continuity, where
it's also interesting that the minute they see, they're not like
star-crossed lovers, yeah, or they're not just
the Amazons are at least we haven't seen it yet, but the Amazons are just like, oh, we need to help these people if we can.
No, they're scared. They're like, we've been found.
Oh, true, but yeah, Diana's the only one that's just like, men, like, oh, we can't help them, but she just goes out there. It's like, is anyone
else
alive?
She's the only one that's running out to help them,
right?
And then everyone else is just kind of staring in shock because she's the newest member of Themyscira, for lack of a better word,
right?
Where
young, she's the most inexperienced.
Yeah. Whereas, like in Brian Azzarello's run, they said that they would all jump on a ship, screw all the men, and then kill them, and then come back with children. Yeah, Brian Azzarello.
Shout out to Praying Mantises.
Yeah, and whereas Diana is this incarnation of a god and an Amazon, mm-hmm. possibly, you know, the whole Lies story arc.
That's a really interesting dichotomy we got, because two stories is like, here's Diana growing up, but at the same time, there's all these lies that are...
Here's Diana growing up. That we know. Let's look at everything that differs from her memories of growing up. And I just really like that the issue ends with the one astrology teacher sitting there. It's like, we've been found, and no one else heard her. And Diane is the only one running out onto the beach and sees Steve Trevor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Steve Trevor is just such an iconic character for Wonder Woman. So it's really cool to see them build this new relationship in this world. Yeah. So, yeah. Greg Rucka, Nicola Scott, Wonder Woman.
Still killing it.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. So mine, I pretty much just touched on it like literally like 2 minutes ago, but Detective, oh my God, I love what James Tynion is doing with Detective Comics now. Like, now that he has like what his story arc is like established as, like aside from being Batman Boot Camp, like now we actually have like, here's the villain.
No, we have Batman Boot Camp versus what Batman should be Boot Camp.
Exactly. Like that's, and it's just, all right, we've been seeing like how the characters are interacting. Tim and Steph are together.
Mm-hmm.
Cassandra, she's trying to figure, it seems like she's trying to figure herself out now that she's
how to be human.
Yeah, exactly. And I love the scene where she's sitting in the rafters of like watching ballet dancers practice. I'm just like, oh, that's such a really, that's just so adorable.
That's last page though.
Yeah, that's such a great
flying towards the bell tower was mm-hmm. just like beautiful.
Yeah, and it's just like, it shows that Cass, she's trying to figure out what it, yeah, like you said, what it means to be human now,
human condition.
Yeah, after she's been trained to just kill anyone. I feel like I'm so excited to see the Bluebird issue that's supposed to come up pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see like Cass and her interact again. But I also love to see where Cass is just on the roof and she's surrounded by all the, I don't even know what they're called. The colony. Soldiers. And she's just like, okay, fight. And it's just like, it says a paragraph of dialogue with one word.
Whereas Dick Grayson will say a paragraph of dialogue when he can only say one word.
Exactly. Like, that's my favorite thing that he's doing with Cass. Is just like, she's still trying to like speak more, but every single word has such power behind it. And I knew from the start that Jacob Kane was up to no good.
Right.
Just the fact that he, like you said, you even mentioned it where it's less like, he didn't even flinch when he knew that Bruce was Batman. Like, he's just like, he played it off like, you shouldn't be working with him. You should be working with me. I know you're such a better leader. But yeah.
Just the issue ending with like, she'll come to us.
Right. And they go into, looks like a doomsday bunker, essentially.
Yeah.
Under the whole base. Poor Cass getting riddled with trank darts.
Yeah, I was so scared that she got shot.
Yeah, I was too.
But James Tynan has a lot of people have been sitting there. It's like this guy has been groomed by
Scott Snyder
to be the next Batman writer. And I have no problem with that. He has a very different style than Snyder does too. Whereas, you know, someone like Amy Chu and Marguerite Bennett, their styles are really close to Scott Snyder's. Whereas James Tynan, he has more exposition through dialogue than that thought process, but he does touch on every character in a unique way.
He gets enough of the character to at least get their perspective on what's happening in the story without like overshadowing or just overreaching someone else's.
And one of my favorite parts, you know, you mentioned the cast part and just her saying fight, but then you have someone like Stephanie who comes into the bell tower and it's like, is that Batman losing? And that speaks volumes to her character. Or it's him sitting there just like, give me time, stall, I'm hacking.
Yeah.
And then you have Kate, who has this new family. Her blood family has betrayed her. And now she has to make a decision whether or not she wants to stay with the Bat family that she's pushed away so much in favor of herself and Jacob.
Yeah. Or decide with her father.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Renee Montoya.
Yeah, her appearing.
God, please bring back Question now.
Yeah. I haven't published this on our website yet, but I'm going to publish an, it's just like a quick 2-page essay. Just one of the things I want to start doing is just posting my thoughts, because as soon as I get in the car and leave, I have a bunch of more things I want to talk about after the podcast. So that's kind of going to be my outlet for it. And one of the things that I'm going to be, my first thing that I'm going to be talking about is like, what does it mean to be Batman? And then that status of legacy characters, because this issue really highlights Jacob Kane's point of view. It's like, Batman's good and all, his war on crime just isn't effective.
It's too small.
We truly go to war. And it's just such a powerful statement to what the Batman character and what the Batman symbol means to different people. Because I mean, you know, Kate, her thing was like, I want to be Batwoman because Batman once saved my life and I want to represent him, versus, you know, someone like every other Bat family character who thinks that they should take on the Batman role because it's what's meant to be. Yeah. So yeah, it's
Detective. If you had any doubts about James Tynan writing Detective, don't. It's been excellent. He's still going strong.
Yeah.
I have complete faith in him. So yeah.
And his
Detective and Wonder Woman.
His new Boom book's coming out soon too.
Yeah. Backstagers.
Which looks really entertaining.
That looks like a fun book.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's take a little break real quick, and we will come back with Comic Book Club.
Comic Book Club.
Yeah, I almost said that. I'm just like, no,
I
don't
like
want
Comic Book Club.
Book Club, okay.
Book Club
it is. We'll be back.
This episode of the Z2 Podcast would like to promote Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles located in Parker, Colorado. For more information, you can visit their Facebook at Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles or Twitter at HOJ Comics. Their store has many amazing things ranging from comics, pop figures, collectibles, action figures, and much more. For more information, you can follow those two links and have a wonderful day.
And welcome back to the first ever Z2 Podcast Comic Book Club.
I love that name.
CBBC.
C2BC.
Yes. This month we are talking about Dark Knight, a True Batman Story by Paul Dini.
And Eduardo Risso.
Yes.
It's a Vertigo original graphic novel starring the one and only Paul Dini. It's a memoir
about his horrific mugging in the 90s, where it traumatized him in such a way that he almost quit writing Batman.
Yeah, it was around the production time of Batman Mask of Phantasm.
Yeah.
It's for a time stamp. And this caught my attention because I strongly and truly believe that the best animated series that's ever existed were under the pens of Bruce Timm and Paul Dini. I mean, Batman, that 90s series, Batman, Batman Adventures and everything like that really kind of captured me.
Yeah,
as a child.
And you also have to look at just kind of like all the things that spawned from it. You had Harley Quinn, you had Gotham City Sirens, like some of the most iconic things came from that series.
Even though they never used Jason Todd.
Yeah.
And,
I can forgive him for that.
So Dark Knight was really an emotionally compromising read. And
Yeah, it just something that kind of really spoke to me. Like, and coincidentally, right before we recorded this, the Nerdist had an interview with Paul Dini about the book, and they go in depth of the whole story, and it just gets really emotional.
Yeah, and I think Neil Gaiman, he is the one review on the cover. I think he has said it best, that this entire thing is a powerful tale of healing and redemption. Mm-hmm. And it's cool because we really got to get an in-depth look into this creator, because most of the time we don't really understand where the creators come from.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Snyder, Charles Soule, a lot of these guys, we see them on Twitter, we think we understand their lives, but we really don't. Like Scott Snyder said a lot about witches was him having depression from when he had his first child, because he couldn't do things anymore the way that he did. And just having this retrospective look at Paul Dini, he said he had to write this because he wanted to finally lay the demons to rest. And I think the coolest thing about this, like even as a child, a lot of his imagination spawned into different characters. It was very, all of his imagination was personified.
The way the story was told was through Batman characters.
If you liked Inside Out, this is Inside Out with Batman characters.
Yeah, this is essentially what that is.
But darker.
You'll see like Paul Dini like sitting talking with his boss or something, and then Batman's like standing in the back corner talking to him.
Yeah, or when he's in like his darker moments, you have the Joker trying to convince him. It's like, oh, you don't need to do that. And it's just a really cool retrospect. And like you said at the beginning, this was a story about Paul Dini and he got mugged at like the heights of his career, one of the heights of his career.
But at the same time, it was like one of his emotional low points in his life, and especially just hearing that, listening to him talk about the event more, it spoke to me so much, because I have issues with anxiety, and just one of the most powerful scenes I think was after the mugging. He goes home and he walks through his door, and he knows that no one's going to be there for him to say, oh my God, what happened? He's all by himself. Like, he built up this superficial life of like, oh, I have all the toys and all the gadgets and just all this cool stuff, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. It's like, I'm famous. I'm the writer for Batman, the biggest thing that's ever happened. But a lot of the people around him, like aside from his coworkers, they don't take
He
doesn't get that feeling from anyone.
Yeah.
Nothing's reciprocated. Like, he goes on a date, and the date doesn't go well, and that's what led to him. Like, he's just really downtrodden, and that led to the mugging.
Mm-hmm.
And just him moving forward, like, watching these different scenes of him going through past events, like, when he and his coworkers won an Oscar, is an Emmy?
Emmy.
It was an Emmy for Tiny Toon Adventures.
God, that was such a brutal scene.
Comes home, no one's there to celebrate with him, and he's just in a really bad place, and he scars himself with the Emmy, and it's like, oh my goodness, this is
hard to watch.
Yeah, you were reading on the plane.
Yeah, I was just like, is anyone like looking at this? Because this is a really depressing scene right now.
Yeah, and like I said, one of my favorite things though really was just seeing the cast of Batman personified, and what you said in your notes. It's very reminiscent. This Batman is very reminiscent of like the Scott Snyder portrayal, where Batman is about getting up in the morning, where he's fighting the good fight so you can take however small steps you need to become a better person again.
Right. And I mean, even Paul Dini, that's something he took away from this whole story, is that Batman was like, he's like that father figure that tells you to get back up even when you don't want to. And the Joker is that dark side telling you, no, you just, you know, stay at home. You already missed your deadline today. It'll probably get extended to next week. You don't have to do that. Like, mm-hmm. Joker tries to bring out the worst in you, and Batman tries to bring out the best in you.
Yeah, and that's just such a wonderful way to look at it. And then, you know, as he's retelling the story to like the psychiatrist towards the end, you know, he takes those personas. Like, Batman may not swing to rescue in real life, but maybe in a few minutes, people spend watching his cartoon makes their day a little better. It's small, it's something. And if I can be a part of something like that, I don't think I want to walk away from it too soon. You know, he even goes on to say, it's like getting the shit kicked out of me is one thing, but to give up doing what I love, well, then I'm just letting the bastards beat me down again. Going to work is the only way to win. So he, you know, it's a lot of him just kind of overcoming those demons, overcoming a lot of what traumatized him.
And right.
It's all about that couple that he found in the supermarket who was like, yeah, you know, my wife has cancer. And
just watching Tiny Toons just brightens our day.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you got to find the small things in life that really makes you happy. And it's just so, I don't know how to put it in words, but it's just like such a powerful statement. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many people out there with anxiety, with depression and everything, that they need to hear some things like that. You know, you just got to find something, whatever it is, to help give you strength or help bring you to become the person that you need to be in life.
Yeah.
But man, it's,
I think one of the most, oh my, like the most impressive part about the whole, well, maybe not as impressive, I'm probably using the wrong word, but in the podcast, Paul Dini's like, yeah, I was talking to Kevin Smith about, like, he's like, yeah, I have this story I want to tell. And when he told it to Kevin Smith responded with like, man, if that happened to the right age for me, I probably would have never gone outside ever again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, no, of course you would have. You had your movies and stuff. It's like, no, maybe not. Like, if I was just developed enough, like,
right,
it just would have scarred me so much that I wouldn't have done anything. And that's why Paul Dini wrote, like, came to terms. He's like, I want to write this because, like, if someone has like a similar experience, like, this is gonna help them in some way to show that you can get past this. You will move on.
Yeah, and one of my favorite things, though, is that Batman was, like, the biggest dick.
Yeah.
Like, I can understand why Dini kind of banished those thoughts away, because...
it's just
Batman,
like...
It's his version of Batman. It's a very blunt character, very...
It's that father figure force that cares about you, but it's tough love.
Yeah, and I think my favorite panel, though, of this entire thing... I'm looking at page 108. That's why I grabbed your copy. I forgot to bring mine.
It's all good.
But it's everything's like in a very sepia tone. Everything kind of blends together except for Paul Dini's character, who's just white.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the lines drawn in, but his lines go into the borders of the panels. It goes off panel into the actual page. And Batman sitting there, it's like, he's telling him, so Dini in that scene goes, how do I escape? And Batman just says, that's not my problem. Find your own key, banish your own devils. And he just goes, how? It's like, the world is filled with voices on other than the ones in your head. Listen to them. And he goes back in that reminiscent, breaking the story, saying, I think the world had been trying to tell me that for a while. It didn't sink in until a couple nights later, and where we get that scene at the record store where the man is telling him about his wife with cancer, and then Tiny Toons is like one of the only things that helps him laugh and kind of forget about the situation for a brief moment. And it's just so cool because it's much more than trying to overcome something on your own, but listening, gathering people around you to help build up that semblance of self again.
Yeah, and it's just also that kind of idea of, even if you don't think you matter, something you might do that you don't realize does affects someone. Like, yeah, Bruce or Paul Dini, he's writing cartoons and he doesn't think, he's like, yeah, this is all I wanted to do, but I didn't realize the impact I had on people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was just thinking about, like, the success the whole time.
Yeah. One of my favorite things, though, because we associate the Batman animated series with Bruce and Paul Dini, is, like, their one true original creation of Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire time I was reading, I'm like, when is she going to appear? When is this
right.
iconic character? And she appears towards the end saying, it's like, you know, we both know there's nothing wrong with being silly. I'm glad you got your Sensayuma back for a while there. You were sounding like a real Jack. Now write me funny things to say. I want to get back to work too. And this character was very much like, she's the middle ground between mm-hmm. Batman and the Joker. She is the one saying, it's like, you can move on. You need to you need to find yourself again, whether that be in me, whether that be in Batman, whether that be in the villains, you need to move forward,
mm-hmm.
which is like one of, you know, that's always just one of the greatest. It's really crappy to say, just like keep moving forward. Three words.
Yeah.
But there's so much impact behind yeah. those words, you know, and, rereading this, after one of our friends had a really hard time, I drew
some of this advice and gave it to him as well.
Yeah, it's very much, it's like, you know, again, it goes back to that, I think, that idea where Batman, he's not just Bruce Wayne. Batman is not Batman, but Batman is like a force. And yeah. I think Scott Snyder put it that way. It's like, you know, Batman is, he wasn't there, but Batman is there as an inspiration. He's a voice that Paul Dini heard in the darkness, just commanding him to stand up. It's that same voice that just keeps saying, be the hero of your own story versus don't let yourself get beaten down. You mm-hmm. gotta stand up to everything.
Yeah, everyone's gonna have that one moment in their lives that you can sit down and you can be the victim, or you can beat it. You can win. You can be a victor.
Yeah, and, you know, the story gets told in so many different ways, but seeing this almost as like, it's literally a nonfiction memoir.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it has figments of Bruce's, or not Bruce, Paul Dini's yeah. imagination, Bruce Wayne's imagination,
yeah.
Paul Dini's imagination brought up. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of cool. And I think that's why Inside Out was such a cool concept for me, just to see emotions personified. And now you have his imagination personified. You know, I'm sure Batman could stand in as the new Inside Out Hope, where Joker is like the darkness inside of the brain. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know, it was just such a cool read.
Yeah, it was really well written, really well, just the way the scenes were drawn too were just really well done.
Yeah,
like the fact that it's like he could, like I said, like Paul Dini could be just sitting in an office talking to his boss and Batman's just over him. And just mm-hmm. the way it's like incorporated is just so good.
Yeah, it's very visceral with everything because you get such an in-depth look to the human psyche, human condition.
Hey.
We just keep coming back to that condition.
It's an important concept.
But we just keep reeling back from scene to scene to scene where you have these characters like acting as like the little angel or the little devil over
yeah.
your shoulder the entire time. And I feel like anyone who picks this up can very much get something from it.
Oh yeah, I like I said, it definitely hit me in a place, and yeah, it's such a great book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really quick read too. So
yeah, it's
like I read it in an hour and a half. It's like a little over 100 pages.
Yeah, the plane ride. It is roughly, for all of you lovely readers here. Do you want me to hold it close to the mic so we can ASMR it? It's 128, 29 pages, and. You know, Paul Dini, if you grew up liking the Justice League cartoon or the Batman cartoon, this is very reminiscent of some of those themes where, you know, nothing's going to stop Bruce Wayne. Nothing's going to stop these heroes because, you know, they go through the same things as we do. Like, my favorite concept behind DC is that these are everyday people trying to be superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just so visceral for me. It's very moving. Like, I'm at a loss for words just because, you know, it was just such an emotional read.
It was
just such a hard concept to actually like put into words and put onto the page.
Yeah.
But it's very much anyone can get something.
Yeah, definitely.
So you get to pick the next
book. And I have just the book that I wanna do. It's Neil Gaiman's new graphic novel that came out last month called How to Talk to Girls at Parties, which is a short story adaptation of a story that Neil Gaiman wrote.
Okay. So just 180 from what we just
read. Yeah. Yeah. Something a little lighthearted after that. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be a quick read. I'm still waiting for my copy to get in, but you will have a month to read the book, and it shouldn't take you that long. I'm pretty sure it's not longer than this, if probably about the same length.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. It's Neil Gaiman, Gabriel Ba, Fabio Moon. Yeah. So
that artist and colorist team, though. Oh yeah, my goodness.
It looks like a lot of fun. And yeah. And we're really looking forward to reading it.
So what we should do is look in the review section and find a creator. And it's like, oh, okay. So Dark Knight, oh, Neil Gaiman's name is there. Yeah. So let's go read something from Neil Gaiman.
It could be a fun way to do it.
Yeah. I just want to get through more back issues. Yeah. That's my excuse.
Yeah.
God, I just want to keep talking about this. I don't want to, like, we talked mostly about the end and like parts of the middle, but it's really the end that's so much more striking.
Yeah. Like the beginning and middle is very much like the build up to,
let's establish this character.
Let's establish exposition. The event. Let's get the event in. Let's get the aftermath of like his thoughts of what this means to me.
Yeah. I mean, everyone should read this. At least once.
You will can't, if you're struggling with like depression, anxiety, anything,
just
really,
your own head.
Yeah. Like this is a great way to just view like how you can think about dealing with issues.
My favorite question was when I had interviews for my job, why'd you want to be a teacher? Well, Batman taught me. And it's like, what? And it's like, well, Batman's like this crazy force that keeps people moving. And, you know, I want to be that same force for someone else. And it's like, I guess my principal constantly says if I weren't teaching, I'd probably be writing comics or like being the intern, bringing coffee to people. At the DC office.
Hey, Scott, I have this great idea for Batman story.
Hey, Scott, how about that Nightwing? You gonna write some more? No, that's Tinsel's. You should add some Nightwing to All-Star Batman, though. Come on.
Just have a cameo? Anything? Eh? But yeah, I think that'll do it for the first edition of Comic Book Book Club.
The Z2CBBC.
Z2CBBC, yes.
Yes. Also, I don't know if anyone saw this on Facebook, but we formally challenged Thinking Outside the Long Box to a round of Super Fight.
Yes.
And they have agreed. So
we'll figure out when plan that. Yeah, sometime that'll happen.
Yep. And if you guys have no idea what you're talking about, you should go listen to episode 17.5 of the Z2 podcast, where we played the game. One of my friends listened to it, and it's like, what the hell are you doing? You like changed the rules halfway through. I'm like, well, I have a podcast.
So we can do what we want. We want.
Who I am?
Yeah, we should have gotten the rules that we did at the end at the beginning. Yeah. Because that was a lot more
interesting. That was a lot more fun.
That worked.
Team Aquapuddle.
Freaking Aquapuddle versus actual Jedi Ridley.
Yeah. All right. So thank you all for listening. As always, you can find us on Facebook as the Z2 Podcast or on Twitter at Z2 Podcast.
Get all your updates there.
Yep. Look for more updates on Facebook and Twitter. I'm going to post the essay that I'm close to finishing editing on the our WordPress website. And I'm hopefully going to try and do that as like a weekly or bi-weekly thing. Just things that
get your thoughts out there.
Get my thoughts out there, because I really wanted to talk. I don't know. I really want to talk about how human Civil War is compared to like other past Marvel events. And right. Now that I am reeling back from all the other thoughts in the past hour or so. So yeah, good times.
Good times. Yeah. And if you haven't done so already, please help us out and give us a rating, review, wherever you're listening to this podcast, if that exists, or leave a comment. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, post something on our Facebook wall and tell us how you were one of the first 8 listeners.
Yeah.
Or something.
Thinking about getting a shirt for New York Comic Con just to wear that around.
Baseball tee?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it'll be October, so it'll be kind of cold.
There you go.
But yeah.
You should get like the arcade belts. I saw you try like pause everything. Like the arcade belt, like the penny, quarter dispensing machine, but it's like business cards.
Oh my God.
You just fling them at people. Hey, I really like you. You should listen to the Z2 podcast, by the way.
Just like throw them out a window.
Just take them. Meanwhile, three other people are handing out their cards in the exact same corner as you for their podcast.
Oh, well.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys.
Till next week, guys.
Love you.
Goodbye.